I'm Faye Sijola. Welcome to Uncover the Untold. I believe we are created to live purpose-driven, potential-filled lives. This podcast is dedicated to encouraging you to be bold, confident, and courageous as you uncover your true potential.
Hello and welcome back to episode 4 of the Uncover the Untold podcast. So I post new episodes every first Friday of the month, and this is the episode for May. Can you believe it's already May? Like, the year is flying by. 2019 is just going way too fast for my liking. But if you like this episode and you are enjoying what you're hearing, or you've enjoyed so far, please be sure to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you like to listen to podcasts. Like I said, I post new episodes every first Friday of the month. So in today's episode, I'm going to be talking about my experience of this particular life transition, which I've just kind of come to the end of, which is the quarter life crisis / mid-20s / introduction to adulthood. And I'm going to be sharing a little bit about my experience over the last kind of few years as I've been navigating this transition. And then at the end, I'm going to be sharing a little bit about kind of what I wish I'd known about life transition, what I wish I'd known about early adulthood and the quarter life crisis. So hopefully if you are kind of in your early 20s, or if you are going through a life transition of your own, maybe some of the things that I talk about will resonate with you, and maybe a few of the things that I've learned I'll be able to share with you. Okay, so let's begin in phase one, which I've kind of titled the beginning phase, but also it's kind of like the what the heck phase. So I'll give you a little bit of context to when I think, looking back, when this transition / quarter life crisis began. So it kind of started, I think, kind of about 6 to 8 months post-graduation. So I studied psychology, and I was working to becoming a clinical psychologist. And so, to be honest, I was lucky. I worked hard. I don't know, it's a combination of both. But I'd landed myself a job. I graduated in, was it June, I think? And I'd landed myself a job starting for end of September. So I'd done quite well, really. Like, it hadn't taken me that long to find a relevant job in my area that I was trying to get into. So I'd been working, fast forward a few months, I'd been working, I was loving it. This was everything I'd been planning for. I was on track for my 10-year goal to become a clinical psychologist. And it was all going really well until it kind of wasn't. So what started to happen was a little bit of doubt started to creep in, and then a little bit more, and then I think maybe by about 8 months into the role, I was like, I don't like this. I don't like this job. But also, it was bigger than that. I didn't really like the career path. I realized that actually now, and I definitely don't want to do this for the next foreseeable years. And that was hard because I'd based so much of my life plan, which sounds ridiculous now, but also kind of like my life goals were around becoming a clinical psychologist. That was probably the hardest bit, realizing that what I thought I wanted and what I'd been working towards wasn't true to what I wanted in that time anymore. And that my beautiful plan was just falling to pieces pretty much. And I think in that beginning phase, in that what the heck phase, I had a lot of different feelings going on. First, it was like, no, denial, like, no. It's not psychology, it's just this role. I need to find another role in a different job, in a different service, and I'm gonna love it. Then it was kind of like, well, maybe actually it's not just the role, maybe it is that. I think I had to come to terms with the fact that actually I didn't want to be a psychologist, and that wasn't changing regardless of what I tried to do. That kind of, that feeling still stayed true. And it was hard because I kind of felt like at that point I'd built up so much of my identity around becoming this clinical psychologist. I put so much emotional time, effort, money into becoming a clinical psychologist, into studying for psychology, and to literally within a space of a few months realize that none of that rang true anymore was quite heartbreaking. It was quite difficult really. It was quite upsetting. it was all the bad stuff really. I was like, what the heck? What is going on? Like, I've done everything I'm supposed to do and I'm in the role and I'm in line with the plan, but suddenly the plan didn't feel like it was right for me anymore. And that was hard. That beginning phase, that kind of letting go of this whole identity I built, this career path that I was working towards and striving for, and saying goodbye to that without knowing what was coming next, that was hard. So somewhere in that kind of beginning phase, somehow we entered the middle phase, which I kind of classed as no man's land. So I'd started, before I ended, left that particular role, I had started dabbling in wedding videography. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to leave this particular role in psychology. I'm still really young, and if I ever want to come back to psychology, I can, but why not take the chance now and pursue something else? If it doesn't work out, fine. It's like, you know, I've not lost much really. But if something else comes along which I love more, then I've gained everything really. So I started dabbling in wedding videography. So I've started a wedding videography business. And I liked it. I liked aspects of it, some bits more than other. I really enjoyed the editing side of things, to be honest, but some of the other parts, like the actual, like sales and all of that kind of stuff, I probably didn't like as much. And so I was trying that out, but also feeling really anxious because I wasn't sure if that was what I wanted to do, or if I was even kind of like, where was I going with this? So I was trying new things, one of them being wedding videography. But in the midst of this middle phase, this no man's land phase, I also went through like a few other huge life changes. So I got married, I moved in with my husband, I moved to a different city, I was starting a new business while I was in the midst of a new first year of a new business. So looking back now, like, loads of big life changes taking place. So of course, it's no wonder I was stressed. It's no wonder I was anxious. It's no wonder I was like freaking out, because like, those are big changes that are all happening in the same year. And in this middle phase, I think it was hard because I'd gone from being employed and working towards a professional career into being self-employed, working in and starting a business in something that I had no technical training in. I'd done like a little kind of course, but I think with the art type stuff, a lot of it is like learning on the job. Actually, to be fair, in quite a lot of roles, it is really more of the learning on the job, the experience. But anyway, so I was working in this, well, I'd started this new business, self-employed, so pretty much working on my own. It's like a one-man band type business at that point. And I was just trying to figure everything out. I'd moved to a new city, I'd just got married, I was just trying to figure everything out. But at the same time, I kind of realised that it didn't really want to do wedding videography either, and that was hard because I'd spent a lot of money on training and equipment and time and marketing and setting up a business, and I was like, oh gosh, I don't want to do this either. So I was like, oh great, second thing that I'm like don't want to do and I'm quitting from. So at that point, I felt like a bit of a quitter. I was like, will I ever find anything that I like, that I really truly want to do? Will this ever work out for me? And so that was around the time that my husband and I started this new business, this business that we're doing now. And so I kind of said, right, I'll work in the business, because in the beginning, kind of in it's a service business, so we really needed someone that was on the ground. So I was like, I'll do this for the next few years while I kind of figure out what I want to do next. And I think that middle phase of being really in this kind of transition of being really truly unsure, being utterly confused, and a part of me felt like that I'd been like dealt a disservice, which sounds so entitled, because I was like, no one told me about this. Everyone had told me, like, you know, study, get a job, climb the career ladder, and all of a sudden I wasn't doing that. I wasn't on that path. And I was like, and that path didn't work out for me, but no one had told me this. Like, why didn't anyone pre-warn me that this could happen? Everyone's just like, yeah, we'll train you up, go out, and, you know, you'll be all good. But no one was really talking about what happens when a career path doesn't work out for you. What happens when you try and run a business and that doesn't work out for you? What happens when you're not following a traditional route? I was just like, I'm in this on my own. In that middle phase, I literally was just trying, just day to day, trying to just get stuff done. And I think the middle phase was actually the hardest bit, because it was the part with the most uncertainty. Like, at this point, I was fully aware, and I'd let go of the hopes and dreams of being a clinical psychologist. I was okay with that not being part of my identity, not being part of my story. But at the same time, I also didn't know where I was going next or what I was pursuing next. And I'm a very like goal driven type person. Like, I like to be working towards something, and I was just working. I think part of what was hard in that middle phase was just feeling so unmotivated. Like, there was a point in time when I was like, I don't really know what I want to do, so I'm just gonna go work in this business. And then in my free time, I was like, I'm just gonna start watching Grey's Anatomy from the beginning. If you don't know, Grey's Anatomy is like a medical drama series based around these surgeons. So I was gonna go back and watch all of those seasons. And I actually did start. I think I only made it through season one, which was about 8 or 9 episodes before, thankfully, I like got myself together, because that's just like such a bad waste of time. But that was just how unmotivated I was, because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't know what I want to do, and I have no idea. And so I was just like, I'm just gonna veg out on watching Grey's Anatomy. I'm just killing time, basically, because that's exactly what watching Grey's Anatomy 15 seasons would have been doing, just killing time. So yeah, that middle phase is like super, super disheartening and really like low motivation, seriously low motivation. But what was also hard in that middle phase was looking around and feeling and thinking that everyone else had their ish together, that everyone else had their stuff together, and they were all, you know, working towards the careers they'd studied for, like by my peer group, my friend group, people I graduated with. And seeming like they all had their stuff together, but actually, when I spoke to them, they didn't say it outrightly, but there was a sense that they too felt like they'd been sold a lie. They too weren't quite 100% happy with what they were doing, or they too were having questions, doubts, concerns about their career paths and about, I guess, discovering who they were. So it was comforting in some ways, but it was hard because I felt quite like alone in this phase, in this middle phase. But at the same time, I kind of thought, maybe I'm not alone, because maybe when I spoke to friends and stuff, I was like, maybe they are experiencing it too, but just not wanting to like be as open and vocal about it, which is perfectly fine. So it was helpful, but not really, because no one was really talking about, no one had really spoken about this phase of being quite unsure in adulthood. And so, yeah, the middle phase, honestly, it felt like it lasted forever. And to be honest, it probably did, like, out of the phases of this transition of the quarter life crisis, the middle phase was definitely the longest and the hardest. And just, honestly, in the middle phase, I was like, this is going to be my life forever. I'm just going to be, like this forever now, which is so dramatic and also definitely not true. But it really did feel that way. Okay, so fast forward into the middle phase, honestly, and we get to phase three, which I've kind of titled the what now / new beginnings phase. And I don't know how I got here. Well, I do, kind of. I'm going to share a little bit of what changed, because I think, honestly, if I'm being completely honest, this middle phase, this kind of new beginning phase has only really come about in the last 5 months, maybe. So we're talking recent, pretty recent. But I think there was a few things that really helped this transition into this third phase of kind of hope, which it really is. I don't know why I'm laughing, because it's true. It is light at the end of the tunnel type phase. One of the things was just letting go of control and of having control, which sounds really simple, but actually to truly experience that letting go is hard. I don't know what I did, but somehow, and over these last few kind of months, I've just learned to let go of knowing, and of, I've always been someone that's always liked to plan, like to have a little bit of control, like to be focused, and I've just in these last few months just let go of all of that and just been like, it's okay to not know exactly what you want to do. It's okay to not have a 5 or a 10 or a 20 year plan. Do you know what? It's okay if you haven't even planned for the whole year. Like, I think it's nice to have a rough idea, but you don't need to have a 100% detailed plan, which I really did feel like I needed to have. And so kind of that letting go of control, letting go of being so particular in my plans and in my expectations of myself, that really did help. And just, yeah, when talking about expectations, just being a little bit kinder to myself, like, I don't need to have it all together all the time, and being open to change, like I've said already, like being open to change, being open to new possibilities, new opportunities. That actually was probably the biggest change, from feeling stuck and feeling helpless and feeling like a victim to taking back some control and some ownership of my experience and of this particular life transition. So that really helped. The other thing I think was just being comfortable with not knowing, being comfortable with having a loose plan but not like 100% plan, and just being a little bit more willing to go with the flow in this kind of new beginning phase, being open to trying things and being open to failing, knowing that not everything's going to work out and that not everything I put my hand to is gonna work, or I'm even going to be good at it, or I'm going to like it. But also, actually, another thing that really helped me in this phase was not attaching my identity to my career or my vocation. And I think a lot of us do this, not just in our 20s, I think in our 30s and our 40s. Like, when you talk to someone or when you meet someone for the first time, often one of the questions they'll ask you is, what do you do? And by what do you do, they normally mean, what is your job? What is your career? And so actually, especially in a lot of these professional careers, I'm a lawyer, I'm a psychologist, I'm an accountant, becomes a part of your identity, it becomes a part of the status that you hold in our society. And so actually, being able to break up who I am and my identity from what I do and my career path, and saying that actually, that
they're a part of who I am, but they're not, it doesn't define me. That has actually really helped me, because it doesn't really matter, like, to me now, it doesn't matter what I do. I might go from one, I'm considering right now going into a new career, but even if that doesn't work out, or even if I just do that for a few years, like, that doesn't define me. And if I hop and change between multiple careers, I think it doesn't matter, because that, my job doesn't define who I am anymore. And accepting and understanding and knowing that makes a world of difference. And that's really helped me in this kind of third new beginning phase of hopefulness in transition. And so I guess to round up this episode, so to talk a little bit about what I'd wish I'd known about life transition, and in particular the quarter life crisis and adulthood, early adulthood, because I know that there's so much more to come for me. Is the first thing I wish I'd known, honestly, is that your expectations and reality don't always match. And I say this laughing, because I think it's really easy to have certain expectations of how things will be or how things should be, and where you should be in your at a particular age or a particular phase right now. And when that doesn't happen, and in my case it didn't happen, you can beat yourself up and be like, I should be further along by now. There was recently a lot of people on Facebook have been like buying houses and stuff, and I'm like, I should be buying a house? No, Faye, you shouldn't. You don't have to buy a house. Like, there's a lot of pressure to that I think we put on ourselves, that we should do X, Y, Z, whether that's get married, buy a house, it could be anything really, let's be honest, these shoulds that we put on ourselves, and they're not always, it's not always the case. Like, you don't, it's not a race, basically, is what I kind of want to say, that I think sometimes it can feel like you're running through life trying to check things off, like, I got the man, I got married, I got the house, I got the baby, I got the job. Like, it's not a race. And I think one thing that I've really realized actually through this life transition is that there are no how do I put it, when growing up, I think a lot of us spend a lot of time in with similar people in a similar age group doing similar things. So I know, like, in the UK, our school system is based mainly on age. So normally in you know, secondary school, everyone's kind of in your year group is around the same age. Maybe you'll get a few high flyers who have skipped a few years, so they're a little bit younger than you. But for the most part, age-wise, we're kind of doing similar things at a similar age. And that still follows through a little bit into university as well. So everyone's kind of, the majority are around the same age, normally late teens, early 20s, studying at university. But actually, as soon as you leave that traditional education and career path, the rules don't apply anymore. Like, age, throw it out the window, because there's no clear path for what you should be doing, and so where am I going with this? I guess what I'm trying to say is that life isn't a race, and that just because other people in your peer group, or even not in your peer group, are doing certain things or ticking off certain things, it doesn't really matter, because I think adulthood, it's a whole different ball game, and it's not a level playing field like it was at school, where everyone's around the same age doing around the same or similar things. The second thing I wish I had known or have learned from this particular life transition is that it's okay to change the plan. Do you know what? It's okay to scrap the plan altogether. And if the plan isn't working, ditch it, literally. Like, looking back, I'm so glad that I left psychology, and I say that boldly because I could have continued on that career path of working towards being a clinical psychologist, because that's all I knew, that's what I planned for, that's what I prepared for, that's what I spent my money and my time working towards, and I could have done that even though I was unsure or even though I felt like it wasn't the right thing anymore, I could have stayed. And there's so many people that stay in careers, in situations that they're not 100% happy with anymore. In fact, they know that they shouldn't be in that situation or in that career path anymore, but they're scared of what the unknown is. So they stay for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. So I'm so glad that I scrapped that plan, that I was bold enough to say, do you know what? This isn't working for me anymore. I want to do something else. And so, yeah, if you're in a particular transition, and or even in your early 20s or in whatever transition you're in, and right now you know, like, deep down, it sounds so cheesy, but you know that things aren't right and things aren't working for you, don't be afraid to say, screw it, let's try something new, or screw it, I'm not doing this anymore. Because I think life's too short to be living in regret. So if you're not sure, I mean, at the end of the day, what is there to lose? Like, I think you can always start again. It might be hard, but you can always start again. And so, yeah, if the plan ain't working for you, scrap it, start it again. And don't be scared because of the unknown. Like, honestly, just, Richard Branson says, screw it, let's do it. So just screw it and just go with it. The third thing, which I kind of wish I'd known about life transition and the quarter life crisis, is that it really is a season. And especially, I remember back to the middle phase, specifically watching Grey's Anatomy from season one. And it honestly felt like this was going to be forever, that I was never going to figure it out. Not to say that I figured it out now, but that had no chance, and that I was just always going to be stuck, always going to be frustrated, always just going to live mediocrely. And that's not true. Like, life transition, and the quarter life crisis, it really is a season. It doesn't last forever, even if at the time and in the midst of it, it does feel like it's going to last forever. It doesn't. It's a season, and it will end. You will get through it. And finally, the final thing I wish I'd known or just kind of want to share is that basically you're gonna have to do it all again. So I'm really quite happy that I've come out of the other side of this particular life transition. But I think in some ways I'm glad I've gone through this, because I'm prepared for, or at least more prepared for, whatever the next life transition might be. Because let's be honest, the only thing that is guaranteed in this life that we live is change. And so with change often comes transition into that new phase of life. And so I know that this is not my first life transition, by no means, but this is definitely not going to be my last life transition either. And so, yeah, that's my little pieces of wisdom about life transition and the quarter life crisis. I hope you found this episode helpful. If you did like the episode, like I said, please make sure to subscribe to the podcast. I share new episodes every first Friday of the month. And yeah, life transitions, they're fun, actually, because honestly, like, it's nice coming out the other side of this one. I think maybe that's why I'm so preppy. It's nice because I honestly, like, I in some ways I feel like I've grown as a person through this discovery journey and through this particular quarter life crisis, which I'm not going to call it a crisis, because honestly, actually, it's just it's a discovery journey. But yeah, I hope you've been able to relate to some of the things I've spoken about today. And until next month, thank you so much for listening, and take care. Bye.